It's 7 minutes now past 6 o'clock. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Gene Purcell. I'm here today filling in for Joy Cardine. It's time to tell Gene where to go this hour as we spend some time exploring some of the best places to pitch your tent in Wisconsin, and there are a lot of them. Kevin Revelinsky is with us this morning. He is the creator of MadTraveler.com and the co-author of the book we'll be talking about this hour, Best Tent Camping Wisconsin, the Third Edition. And no doubt many of you have your favorite place to set up camp, and we'd like to hear from you too. The book itself covers about 50 campgrounds that are worth your while, but perhaps you've got a suggestion or two or a review of your own. You can join the discussion at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can also post suggestions or comments to the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page, or just send us an email. That address is talk@wpr.org. Kevin Revelinsky, good morning. Welcome back to Wisconsin Public Radio.
Good morning. Good to be back.
Well, first things first, I forgot to ask you how to pronounce your last name before we went on the air. How'd I do?
You did very well. Revelinsky. It's kind of like revolution, but different.
Revolution, but different. We're going to be talking about tent camping this hour, and I imagine we'll be getting quite a few calls on that. But I want to start with a real basic question about what got you interested in the idea of camping? I mean, you could have been somebody who writes books about staying at four-star hotels, traveling the world in luxury. Wouldn't that be nice? But we're talking about tent camping.
Well, I got into writing about the outdoors actually through a Craigslist ad, if you can believe it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a freelancer, and of course you have to, there's no stone unturned looking for work.
So if they asked you to write about the luxury hotel circuit,
I would reluctantly agree, I have to have
just
the work.
Just get it out there,
so,
all right.
So I answered a Craigslist ad about updating an outdoor guidebook. Just they needed some research done. And I did that, turned it in, and then they offered me a full book. I did 60 Hikes Madison after that, and it's just been a book every year since, and now sometimes two books a year. So it just rolled into a bunch of things with a bunch of different publishers.
So we're talking today about tent camping. And let's talk about, I think it sort of self-defines itself, but let's talk about, we're not talking about RVs, we're not talking about anything particularly fancy or exotic here, just plain old, you pull the car up by the side of the campground somewhere and pitch a tent.
Yeah, and I think of that as sort of the mid-range level of intensity of camping. You've got your RVs and your pop-ups, and it's a little bit easier. You bring a lot of your comforts from home with you on a couple of wheels behind you on a trailer. But tent camping, you could also have the backpacking variety where you carry all your gear in a couple miles into the woods, and that's pretty intensive. So I think the tent camping, being able to drive up to the campsite in your car is sort of a comfortable balance for most people.
And it's something, having lived in Wisconsin my whole life, it's something you see a lot of here.
Yeah. We've got a lot of state parks and county parks and city parks and national forests that you can go camping in. So there's a lot of opportunity, and we're not very far from the nearest place. Here in Madison, just go around the lake to the other side. Well, not, they don't have camping over there, but over in Middleton, actually. They've got campgrounds there. And, just wherever you are in the state, you've got something close by. Yeah.
So the book we're talking about today is the third edition of the book, and I have to confess I did not read the first two. Are there changes in the third edition? Is it always the same 50 campsites, or do campsites drop in and drop out, and how does that work?
Well, it's Wisconsin, so we've got a lot to choose from. So, each edition we swap out some campsites just to keep it a little fresh. And to, spread the love around a little bit. There's some places that are, there's more than some. There's a lot of places that are overlooked. And there are some I'm thinking that I wish I had included this year, but, it's
the fourth edition's
spread,
right around the corner.
Yeah, right, exactly right. We have to update this, every few years just because of the information, the fees, the different contact numbers, different number of campsites, modifications to campsites. Some of them have electricity now and they didn't before, or they added some campsites. And so there's always that element, but yeah, we do put in extra campsites and take a few out.
Now, when you're looking for a good tent camping site, you've got some categories here in the book, and we can talk about those. You've got six categories: beauty, privacy, spaciousness, quiet, security, and cleanliness. You go to every one of these yourself?
I have a co-author, so part of them are Johnny's detail and part of them are mine. But yeah, we go inspect them, check them out, and make sure everything's up to snuff, as we, especially when we're swapping out the campgrounds.
So how do you, some of these are a little on the, subjective side. So
of course, totally.
So beauty.
Yeah, right.
A rose by any other name,
Exactly. And like the Dells of Eau Claire campground, we actually have like a 3 out of 5 because the campground itself is sort of, well, it's all right. But the Dells, which is, nearby, it's lovely. It's wonderful. So it's just a matter of, it's totally subjective, as you say. And, hopefully we give a good, the description, I think, when you read about the park, then you can make a judgment a little bit for yourself. If you're going to be impressed by fields of wildflowers, then, or if it's canyons or, flowing rivers, different types of wildlife, that makes a difference on a personal level, I think.
So when you pull into a campsite for the very first time, is it a case of you've been doing this so long and you've been to so many of them that you just sort of automatically know that this is going to be a good spot? Or does it take a few minutes for it to sink in and a few minutes to figure out whether this is someplace you want to come back to?
Well, you definitely have to, you go in looking for certain things. It's like doing a hotel inspection, really. You know where to look. You know what to check. Look, lift this up and look under there. At a campsite, you're looking at, you have to think about, well, do you have wind cover here? Is the sun going to be beaming down on you the entire day, or do you have some shade? Is there a picnic table? The different things that would be comforts or hassles for a camper. So, yeah, you do learn to pick out the things that, stand out as making it a really special place.
And one of the things that you specifically take a look at in terms of this book is campsites that are sort of away from RVs and away from light and noise pollution. And having done some tent camping myself, I can tell you that, when you're tent camping next to, a 36-foot RV with a satellite dish on the roof, and they're watching their favorite Blu-ray DVD while you're sitting there in a tent, it kind of ruins the mood.
It does detract from the experience, I would say. Yeah. You're right.
800-642-1234 is our toll-free number if you would like to take part in the discussion. We're talking with Kevin Ravelinsky this morning. He is the co-author of the book Best Tent Camping Wisconsin. It is the third edition, and we'll be taking your calls in just a few minutes at 800-642-1234. If you've got a favorite campsite or something, a tip that you might want to tell the rest of Wisconsin about, give us a call and let us know about that, 800-642-1234. Kevin Ravelinsky, one of the things we were talking about in the book, there's sort of a boilerplate about things that you need to take when you're tent camping. And for those people who haven't done this before, you don't need a whole lot. I mean, that's one of the good things about tent camping. It's pretty basic.
Yeah, you're right. I did an article last summer for Wisconsin Trails, and one of the park managers said the biggest mistake that campers make is they pack too much. They're bringing all sorts of food that are going to require extra utensils, and I think we need a bottle of ketchup, we need this, we need that, we need too much, and they fill the car because they can. I guess that's a temptation when your car/tent camping, as opposed to huffing it into the woods, because then you're not going to bring all those heavy things. But you need to think about, your meals, your clothes, and your shelter. And really that's about it. Maybe a first aid kit as well.
And you need a basic tent. The tent I've got is, 15 years old now. Tent technology is coming off a long way. When I was a kid, we had, canvas tents, and they were
heavy.
I remember
those.
Yeah, they were heavy, they were clunky, and once they got wet, they never got dry.
And did yours have a bottom to it?
It
Ours
did.
Was just
on the dirt,
just over the top.
Oh no, they'd invented floors by the time I was.
Well, we had an old one.
Yeah, but it seems like tents are really good these days, and you can buy a very basic tent, I think, pretty much anywhere that'll do the job and get you out there and get you into a campground.
Yeah, I mean, you do want to be concerned about something being waterproof, I think, mm-hmm. in Wisconsin. But yeah, it's just something over your head is all you need for the night. We've camped on the Wisconsin River without a tent, obviously on nights when there were not a lot of mosquitoes.
Right.
If your tent's waterproof, it's got to have enough room for you. And definitely, I think, lay down the tarp underneath to keep the moisture from coming up from the bottom. But it keeps the mosquitoes out. You're good to go, I think.
All right.
One thing to think about, though, with a tent is in terms of the size, when the manufacturer says it's good for four people.
That's
probably,
a lie.
Yeah, it's probably divide by two.
Four very small people.
Yeah, right. Very divide by two, I think, is a good rule for tent comfort.
And I tell you, for the three-person tent, that makes it very difficult. Because
yeah, right.
Half of that person's going to be outside, and it's a tough situation. Kevin Rolinski is with us today. We're talking about Best Tent Camping Wisconsin as part of, he is the co-author of a new book, the third edition. It's a guide, basically, to tent camping in the state, and they've taken a look at 50 of what they consider to be some of the best camping sites in the state of Wisconsin, and they've given them ratings, and we'll be talking about those, taking your calls. 800-642-1234. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's 19 minutes past 6 o'clock. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Gene Purcell. I'm here filling in today for Joy Cardine. We're talking about tent camping in Wisconsin this hour with our guest, Kevin Revelinski. He is the co-author of the book, Best Tent Camping Wisconsin, the third edition. And speaking of tent camping, here's a look at the Friday weather forecast for Wisconsin. Good chunk of rain for a good chunk of the state, perhaps some storms today, but it's going to be pretty warm throughout the state. The highs will range from the high 70s into the high 80s. Tonight, rainy conditions throughout Wisconsin, lows back down into the 60s. And then tomorrow, partly cloudy skies, areas of dense fog, and a chance of rain. So there you go. Take a tent, take a dry tent, and you should be in pretty good shape. 800-642-1234 is our toll-free number. Kevin Revelinski, when you're looking at these 50 sites, where do you start? As we mentioned before, Wisconsin has a lot more than 50 places to go camping.
Yeah, exactly. Like I said, from the state parks, county parks, local parks. Well, you start with that master list and you just go through them and start singling them out, the ones that are perhaps very popular, lots of sites and more RV friendly. You mm-hmm. can eliminate those and then work your way through the list. You know, Johnny Malloy did the first edition of this book by himself, and I helped him with the second and now the third. So we've done this a few times that we've narrowed it down to a basic list and then just added things and removed parks as we go to keep it fresh. But, you don't want to end up at a park where
it's
you're
no fun.
You're too close to the asphalt or something. The RV next door. I've been to working on another state, and I won't mention them, but there were mm-hmm. a few state parks where it really was an actual parking lot. Like you would put your tent on asphalt next to the camper. It was with the white lines in between. So much camping going on in that particular park and in several in that state that I was kind of taken aback. And here I don't think we have anything quite that bad in any of the parks, but you do want to have that separation, maybe some trees in between you and the next camper or even a good distance between them. Or backcountry sites where you park your car and maybe you have to walk a couple hundred feet into the woods. Not a super trek into the woods, but a little more separation from the next guy.
Mm-hmm. And it feels like you're camping.
Yeah.
We've got some listeners who would like to join in. Let's start out with Dan, who joins us. Looks like he is in Drummond. Hi.
Drummond, yeah. I want to suggest, I'm not really a camper, but I know a lot of people have enjoyed camping on Madeline Island.
Oh, sure, that's a great place.
Either on the at the city park or at the Big Bay State Park.
Yeah, that's a beautiful park, and my personal favorites tend to be around the big waters of the Great Lakes, and that's definitely, you know, on our list.
And Madeline Island, not really a challenge to get to. You got to take the ferry. But I remember the state park there has one of those places where you can park and you have to walk in for a while. And it does really feel like you're out there.
Yeah, it is nice. And also an excellent place to see the stars. You know, you're away from a lot of the city lights.
Mm-hmm. And if you're on the ferry, when you're lucky enough to see the northern lights, it's pretty spectacular. I have to tell you that. Brad from La Crosse couldn't stay on the line. He says he's interested in camping in Dodgeville State Park. Does the guest know of the park and how it is?
Governor Dodge?
Must be Governor
State
Dodge
park,
you might be thinking about, yeah.
Yeah, that's that, that's we like that park very much.
Is it in the book?
It is in the book, and it's also in my hiking guide for 60 Hikes Madison. There's excellent hiking trails there. The camping's quite nice in two different campgrounds, and they do have some of those backpacking sites where you can go deeper into the woods, and a few that are not deep, deep into the woods, but, you know, like I said, maybe 100, 200 feet away from the where you've parked your car. So, yeah, quite a variety of styles of camping there, but also there's places to swim, and some really nice hiking trails that go through some canyons, and there's a waterfall, and it's a great park, I would say.
Yeah, and one of the things I remember about Governor Dodge, first time I was there, I was surprised. You know, you don't read. I didn't have your guide. I have to confess.
See, well,
but I didn't know about sort of the spectacular scenery and the it's almost like the cliffs and things that in canyons that you were. And I thought, nobody told me about this. And you know, if you go to Devil's Lake or something, and they're so crowded, and some of the parks really are very crowded, and we were basically alone out there in Governor Dodge.
Yeah, and the reason places like Devil's Lake are so popular is because, you know, obviously you know about those cliffs and you see that when you pull up, wow, look at this 450-foot cliff or whatever it is, overlooking a beautiful lake. And it's pretty obvious, you know, why people go there. But then Governor Dodge, you know, well, what's here? You know, you have to explore a little bit, poke your head in and find out what's there. And, there's a lot of really sweet spots. I'm actually going paddling this weekend, working on another book, Paddling mm-hmm. Wisconsin. And there's a number of rivers that I haven't been down before, so I'm looking forward to checking them out, judging from descriptions and people that have tipped me off. There's just so many rock formations. Geologically, Wisconsin, I think, is just an amazing place.
800-642-1234. I'm Gene Purcell, and for Joy Cardine, we're talking about tent camping on this Friday morning. Ruth joins us from Madison. Hi, Ruth.
Hi. I love camping, and I have a couple of things that I'd like to say that some you've already touched on, but the first thing, the reason I love camping is because it gives me the opportunity to be ingenious, because no matter what it is, if it's something I needed, I'm either going to lose it, forget it, or break it. And so now I have to figure out how I'm going to live without it.
Necessity is the mother of invention, right?
Yes, exactly, exactly. And personally, I'm a rough camper. You won't find me in a campground most of the time. You know, you're going to find me like in the logging areas of Wisconsin where you can camp, you know, in the middle of nowhere, no bathroom, no shower, nothing, you know. But I guarantee you, if you have a pair of earrings that or something, whatever you have that you value, if you wear it camping, you're going to lose it. So you better just leave it at home, live without it those 2 weeks, and have it the rest of your life. Otherwise, if you take it camping, I guarantee you're going to lose it, and you're going to live without it the rest of your life. So that's the first thing, is I take nothing that I value, nothing that I care that I whether I lose it or break it or forget it, nothing. And then the other thing is that, if you do take the opportunity to camp in a campground, the person next to you comes with a brand spanking new, big, gigantic tube of toothpaste. They've got a shower, you know, there's a big, full bottle of shampoo. They've got, you know, whatever, you know, and I'll tell you, I save that last inch of shampoo of a toothpaste. I mean, for example, like if it's in December and I've got a tube that's the last inch, I put it in my camping gear.
It's the camping toothpaste.
There you go.
because otherwise you're going to take so much toothpaste and the raccoons are going to get it anyway.
Raccoons will eat anything.
And raccoons should have good oral hygiene too. I mean, there's nothing wrong with that.
It's true. People pack too much. And I like to look at it as similar to even getting on planes now. I try to make my travel only carry on because of all the hassles with luggage and luggage fees. But yeah, camping, keep it simple. The whole idea is to get away from all the odds and ends that you depend upon at home, I think. And I think with all the connectiveness that we have going on with cell phones and internet, It's nice to actually unplug and get into that green space. And I think it's actually mentally important. I mean, there are some people who swear that they're city people and they would never be, caught dead out in the forest. But I think from my time out there, hiking, camping, what have you, it feels really refreshing. I come back, ready, I guess, to plug the cell phone back in, but maybe not is attached to it as I was when I went out.
And Ruth mentioned the whole idea of sort of rough camping, of just finding a place in a forest somewhere and plunking down a tent. And that's not what your book is about. You're looking at established places.
And I love that too. I mean, some of my favorite places are those places where I know there isn't another campsite next to mine. Or perhaps there's not even a campsite. You go in and make your own in like a national forest. So, or along the Ice Age Trail, perhaps. Those are, not something you just dive right into. I think you have to work up to that sort of thing. But this is a good middle ground, I think, and good for the family. And it's a low hassle. Get in the car, take the tent, go camping.
Mm-hmm. And don't forget your toothpaste.
And don't forget toothpaste.
We're talking about Best Tent Camping Wisconsin. We've got the third edition of that book with us this hour. And one of the co-authors of the book joins us as well. Kevin Revelinsky is with us. And we'll be continuing our discussion about the best places to pitch your tent here in Wisconsin. I'm Gene Purcell. I'm in for Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's 24 minutes before 7 o'clock. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Gene Purcell in for Joy Cardine. We'll be back talking about camping in Wisconsin with our guest in just a couple of moments. But right now, it's time for Wisconsin Life. Trout fishing is both a sport and an art. Wisconsin boasts more than 10,000 miles of trout streams, creeks, and rivers. Writer Kevin Searock has devoted his life to fishing and share some of the wonders that he's seen wading in.
All along the Rush River, there were signs that the long Wisconsin spring was finally giving way to high summer. False Solomon seal, with its dark green oval leaves, was nearly bloomed out. Campion and oxeye daisies showed in patches where shafts of sunlight slipped through the boughs overhead. Cow parsnip towered over the path in places. Once at a seminar devoted to the problem of weedy, non-native plants in the Badger State, I remarked to a fellow biologist that I'd been burned by wild parsnip many times over the years. "Slow learner," she remarked. "No," I replied quietly, "trout fisherman." The very act of fishing demands a keen eye for observing fine details, so much so that anglers can suffer from perceptual blindness. Then we stumble into muskrat holes and get burned by wild parsnip for the dozenth time, to the amazement of our friends and colleagues. By sunset, I was well upstream of the junction with Lost Creek. A brief rain shower drifted past, soaking me, and then an intense double rainbow arched across the river, backlit by the setting sun. As suddenly as organ music strikes up in church, clouds of yellow mayflies began helicoptering over the riffles. In a few minutes, it seemed that every trout in the rush was feeding with reckless abandon, and I caught fish at will. The familiar colors of the day faded. Molten silver dripped from coal-black trout that sagged in the net and writhed in shadow. Bats replaced the swallows and swifts. Coyotes sang from the ridges. At 10 o'clock, I reeled up for the last time. The smell of dust in the damp night air mixed with the lush scent of a June evening as I crossed several pastures and crunched the gravel roads back to the truck. Lost Creek whispered in the gloom where it splashed through the culvert beneath the country lane. Fireflies flashed above the hedgerows. Bright stars wheeled overhead in the rain-washed sky as I swung along. I recalled when Halley's Comet returned to our neck of the cosmic woods in 1986. Several times that year, I met with groups of students and parents to observe this famous fuzzy star with a powerful telescope. Students in primary grades asked good questions. One that came up often was, "Mr. Sirach, what's your favorite planet?" One day, I wrote an answer. "My favorite planet is Earth, the water planet. I've never grown tired of it or bored with it, and many of my happiest days have been spent in its wild places, beside rivers, lakes, oceans, and in the company of organisms who, like me, find themselves caught here in the nets of space-time and evolution. I think that in the future, as we begin to explore the galaxy, the one sight that will move us to tears will be our own blue planet, growing larger on our forward view screen as we journey home."
Commentator Kevin Sirach teaches high school science in Portage and is the author of Troutsmith, An Angler's Tales and Travels. Wisconsin Life is produced by Erica Janik. This episode was produced in partnership with the Wisconsin Humanities Council. For more information, visit our website at wisconsinlife.org and find us on Facebook. It's 20 minutes now before 7 o'clock. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Gene Purcell. I'm here today filling in for Joy Cardine. Kevin Revelinsky is with us this hour. He is the co-author of the book we're talking about, Best Tent Camping Wisconsin, 3rd edition. And we are talking about some great tent camping sites around the state of Wisconsin and taking your calls, 800-642-1234, 800-642-1234. We've got some callers who would like to join in. Let's start with Gary. And Gary joins us from De Pere. Good morning, Gary.
Hi.
Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, Gary.
Okay. Yeah, one of the spots that I really love to tent camp is Rock Island State Park, which is a little island off the tip of Door County. And one of the fun things about this park is it's just an adventure to get there. You've got to take a ferry from the tip of Door County, Northport, to Washington Island, and then another quick ferry ride from Washington to Rock. But once you get to Rock Island, it's a beautiful little small camping area that has very nice hiking and some interesting, it's got an interesting history. It was owned by an Icelandic immigrant who was developing kind of a Scandinavian paradise up there, and he was building these incredible, he built an awesome boathouse, and then he unfortunately passed away before he could finish his paradise. But it's very interesting to see these buildings, and it's all open. It's all part of the state park, and it's got a great beach, and it's a wonderful place to tent camp.
And they've got a lighthouse out there as well on the north side of the island. It really is a nice place. I've been out there after school starts in September. If you go on a weekday, I was the only person on the island except for, I think, the naturalist was there for the night. The park manager went home back to the to Washington Island, and there were two docents in the lighthouse. So,
but Gary,
all to yourself.
Gary was talking about the fun of getting there, but to me that also sounds like it would take some planning. I mean, can you just show up and get there, or do you have to plan this ahead of time?
Well, if you're driving there, you can't. I mean, you take the car ferry over to Washington Island, and then you park at the other end. You have to drive across the island, park in that lot there, and then you take the passenger ferry, a little boat that goes back and forth. It's pretty short at that point, but
it's worth the trip.
It's worth the trip, totally. It's again another one of those places that's far from city lights, so you can watch the stars. You go into the boathouse at night, and it's this huge, Viking sort of lodge thing. The guy who made it was Chester Thorderson, who was an inventor, and he made his money, I think, inventing a large transformer or something. But he lived in Chicago, bought the island, and tried to develop this little Icelandic, I don't know,
paradise.
Very cool paradise. Yeah.
Yeah.
And you can go out into the boathouse at night. It's kind of creepy at that point. You can, the fireplace is taller than your head, kind of thing. And go out onto the dock, lay under the stars. I remember the last time I was there, I went online and found the schedule for the International Space Station, so you know when it's going to go right over. And that was pretty amazing. I'd never seen it before, and you see that huge bright light suddenly appear on the horizon and go across the sky. And I'm just laying out there, hearing the waves, lap underneath the boathouse, into the stone, and watching the stars. Pretty amazing stuff.
800-642-1234 is our toll-free number. Becky joins us now from Dubuque, Iowa. Hi, Becky.
Hi, Gene. It's actually good to talk to you. I remember you from volunteering at WSU from long, long ago.
Oh, my goodness. That is a long time ago.
Yes, it is. At any rate, I definitely love camping in Wisconsin. I have to completely agree with Gary. I love Rock Island, although I've never had the opportunity to camp there. But I do have plans to camp this weekend at Rocky Arbor State Park, kind of in the Dells. But I think I'm changing those. As I explained to my camping partner, I forgot to put the large hail and tornado spray on my tent.
Oh, no.
I guess I'm kind of a wimp, but I'm not sure that, that's going to be the peaceful sleeping in the fresh air that I love about camping.
Yeah.
So I think as a plan B, we're likely going to try to go hike at Governor Dodge, which is also one.
Yeah, that's nice.
But I do got to say, though, I love camping at Perot Park north of La Crosse. It is so wonderful. I love hiking there. It's the best. I love camping at Mirror Lake, also in the Dells. It's a wonderful place, especially in fall.
There's good hiking there as well, yeah.
And you can't go wrong with Door County. Of course, Peninsula Park is really huge, but it's just so wonderful.
Yeah, they've got great parks up there.
Yeah, I mean, there's just so much good camping and hiking. I never am sad. I love sleeping in the fresh air, seeing the stars, nice long hikes always does me good.
Have you been to Newport up in Door County?
Yeah,
that's...
Oh,
that's...
yeah, and Whitefish? I'm trying to remember the one on the other side. Whitefish Dunes, I believe it is.
Yeah, right. But they don't have camping, though, at Whitefish Dunes.
No, you can't.
But it's
camp
a great
there,
park to visit. But if you go further up, you get to Newport, and that's another one of those you can carry your gear in pretty far and be lakeside on Lake Michigan. So that's a nice option.
All right.
Yeah, well, I got to say, I admire your plans to go paddling this weekend, because I'm not going to tough out the weather that much.
Well, I've heard flash flood warnings in central Wisconsin, so maybe we're going to revisit those plans.
Fast paddling. Becky, thanks for the call. Nice touching base with you again. We haven't talked a lot about northern Wisconsin, and a couple of the places that people have, one person mentioned here is Copper Falls, right up by the Brule.
That's funny you should mention those. Those are my little short list when you were going to ask me my favorites.
Okay.
In the book, Copper Falls is one of them. Was just there with my entire family last summer. The camping's really nice because you might, if you really look at the map, it seems like the sites might be a little close, but there's so much brush and it feels very private there, and the hiking there, of course, is gorgeous. Part of the North Country Trail goes through there, and they've got the waterfalls. That's definitely one of my favorites. And the Boy Brule is another great paddling spot.
If you want to go down Mays Ledges, good luck with that.
Well, not recommended without helmets, right?
That's right, although I've been down it before they invented helmets. We used to do that all the time. So that's a great spot to go. And what is another favorite spot before we take a break?
St. Croix Campground, getting close to again, I like to be close to the rivers.
Mm-hmm.
So, places like the Kickapoo Reserve which is not in the book, by the way, because you have to take a canoe to get to the sites. Places like that, I really like carrying the gear out there. Have you been to Turtle Flambeau Flowage?
I have been to Turtle Flambeau Flowage, and you can do, there are places there, of course, you can go on to the Flowage and then camp on the islands and things like that.
There's a couple, I think, ones that you can get to by car, but, you know, mostly it's the island camping, paddle out, take your gear. It's pretty nice. It's like the boundary waters without going to the boundary waters.
Take your insect repellent.
Yeah.
That's my tip
Well, that's the case just about anywhere in Wisconsin, depending on the wind or the rain.
And especially this year. 800-642-1234. We're going to take a short break, and then we've got a couple of other callers who would like to join in. 800-642-1234. I'm Gene Purcell in for Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Ten minutes before 7 o'clock, this is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. You're telling Gene where to go today as we talk about some of the best tent camping Wisconsin sites. We've got Kevin Revelinsky with us. He's co-author of that book. The third edition of that is just coming out right now. It features 50 camping sites, tent camping sites specifically, around Wisconsin, and gives you ratings on the campsites and the campgrounds, and gives you some idea of how private they are, how quiet they are, how clean they are, that sort of thing. If you've got a favorite campsite, if you've got a camping tip you'd like to pass along, 800-642-1234. Wayne is with us now, and Wayne is in Hartford. Hi.
Good morning. My favorite place in the entire world, quite frankly, is Point Peach State Forest. The camping out there is pretty cool, but the lakeshore, the beaches, and everyone keeps talking about hiking. I always refer to it as taking a walk in the woods. There's just acres and acres of varied woodland. There's wildlife refuge. It's just an incredible place. And there's group camping for scouts and stuff like that. They'll spend the weekend. And if you need a break, there's it's close to, 6 miles or so, Two Rivers. You can go in and shop.
There you go.
That's pretty much all I'd say,
It's Trivers, isn't it? I think that's how the locals like to say it. Point Beach is a good spot. As I said, I love being close to the big lakes. You hear those waves, sizzling in at night. And actually, that's the first place my wife and I ever went camping together. And sadly, what I remember was being just absolutely hoarded by mosquitoes that night. It was just one of those days.
A lot of people have those memories.
Bad.
I hate to bring the Wisconsin state budget into everything, but I seem to remember that there was an item in the budget, and maybe I'm misremembering this, but there was an article in the paper or something recently about a move by the DNR to electrify more campsites. Is this good or bad for tent camping, do you think? Does it matter?
I don't know that it matters. I mean, a lot of people now, it's just to charge your phone. But it is, I don't know. They need to keep a lot of those rustic sites.
Oh, and I know that the article I read, there's a certain percentage of the sites that can't be hooked up to electricity. But they talked about, changing demographics and demands of the marketplace and that sort of thing.
Well, as long as they keep the rustic sites, I mean, you've got to make room for just, anybody to come to the parks. They've done a lot of great work making them wheelchair accessible. There's wheelchair accessible campsites. So, get everybody involved. There's always going to be those rustic sites that, even if they electrify some there at the park, the percentage that they set aside, but also parks you can go to where it's out in the woods anyway, so...
Dave,
plenty of room.
Dave is with us now from Elroy. Hi, Dave.
Hi. Yeah, my favorite campground, and I'm going to say this is the most remote one in the state of Wisconsin. Somebody else can challenge that, but I don't know where it would be. It's the Beaver Lake Campground in the northern unit of the Shawamigan National Forest, just west of Mellon. There's actually two little campgrounds there, Beaver Lake and Lake 3. They're both good. They're only, 10, 12 units, something like that. And most of the time you go there, there'll only be one or two other campers, sometimes none at all. So it's very quiet. It's right next to the North Country Trail.
Ah, nice.
Absolutely wonderful place to go in the fall. Just absolutely beautiful colors. The only negative is it's not very far from where this massive mine is going in now.
Oh, no. Well, that is unfortunate, I guess.
Well, it's far enough away that I don't think it's going to be impacted by the mine. I think the mine is maybe like something like 12 miles east of there or something like that. But it's really, really pretty in the fall. It's very, very, very quiet. You know, I mean, you can really get a sense of being out there by yourself. At least half the times that I've been there, there's been no one else there. And the other times, there's been one or two campers there.
Dave, thanks so much for the call. Kevin Revelinsky, are you familiar with this particular campground?
I have not been to that particular one, but the North Country Trail, it keeps coming up in conversation. And I don't think a lot of people know about that. I mean, they've heard of the Ice Age Trail, mm-hmm. I hope. But the North Country Trail goes all the way across, like the northern part of the United States into the Dakotas. And It's a pretty amazing project, and Wisconsin's got a nice little portion of it that sneaks through, you know, on its way to Minnesota there from the UP, and that's some good hiking. And you know, I suppose you could get from Beaver Lake to Copper Falls if it's on the trail. So.
Sure, I mean, this has to be a fun part of doing a book like this, knowing that there'll be a fourth edition down the road somewhere, hearing about places like Beaver Lake that you haven't been before, and you've got a new place to go check out.
Yeah, yeah, it's, you know, like I said, it's just, there's so many places here, and you just, there's always room for discovery.
Let's take another call. Looks like Leah is with us from Green Bay. Hi, Leah.
Hi. The campground that my family and I like to visit, it's called Old Veterans Park. It's near Crandon, Three Lakes, and Eagle River.
Okay.
Very private, all walk-in sites. There's never been anybody there but us or the group of people that we've gone with.
Old Veterans.
About a half mile up the lane, there's a water pump, and about 2 miles up the other way, I think, I don't know if it's state or national park, there's like little outhouses and showers for the swimming area and things, but I have never, ever seen anybody in there.
There is this the one with the little waterfalls in it? Is it up like...
yes, there is a little waterfall in there.
Yeah.
And it's just gorgeous. The sights are nice and clear, but they're walk-ins, so they're hidden from the lane. They have fire pits, you know, all laid in stone for you to take advantage of. It's gorgeous.
Yeah, that's a nice area, especially if you're, you know, looking for waterfalls. I like to think of that as the waterfall corner of the state. But yeah, great. Thanks for that recommendation.
And there again, another one for the list, Old Veterans Park up by Crandon, she said?
Yeah, up near Crandon.
I have to check that one out. As we kind of run down here towards the end of the hour, a couple of questions for you, Kevin Revelinsky. First of all, in terms of camping in Wisconsin, there's obviously a worse time of the year to camp. But in terms of the best time of the year to the camp, what's your favorite time of the year to be out there in the woods? I mean, spring, summer, fall, I'll have something to recommend them. Even winter, if you're
a winter camper, which I'm not.
No.
I've been out when it's freezing, but that's as much as I've done. Spring and fall, I mean, get out there before the mosquitoes, get out there after the mosquitoes. You've got the fall colors. In the spring, you know, to watch things turn green is nice too. But, you know, I can't complain about summer. Not after the winter's here, you can't complain about summer. And mosquitoes aren't always bad. I mean, sometimes, you know, they terrify us. But like I said, I've been out on the Wisconsin laying in a sleeping bag without a tent over my head for the night. So, you know, they come and go.
They come and go. Oftentimes they come and they don't leave. Well, Kevin Revelinsky, thanks so much for taking the time to join us this morning.
Thanks for having me on.
Appreciated it very much. Kevin Revelinsky has been with us. He is the co-author of the book we've been talking about, Best Tent Camping Wisconsin. It is the third edition of the book, and it is available from, looks like, Menasha Ridge Press. Best Tent Camping Wisconsin, the third edition. And if you'd like to go camping sometime, give Kevin a call. I'm Gene Purcell, and you've been listening to The Hour here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. The program was produced by Christy Taylor. We had on-air production from Justin Williams. And I'm Gene Purcell, as I say, filling in for Joy Cardine here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.